Curtis Sliwa.
Boom!
The search for common ground begins today.
Founder of the Guardian Angels.
I got distracted. I thought Curtis Sliwa
that takes a
Guardian
lot.
Angels was over there.
Curtis Sliwa.
There's a guy in a red hat.
Host of the Drive at 5, Curtis Sliwa.
We the people.
He's the New York State Reform Party chairman.
New York radio talk show host.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa is here.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yeah.
He's an American hero.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
Seven minutes after the hour of 12, as we are high on Tom Madison Square Garden, the great facilities provided for us in order to do this broadcast to all of you by NJDiet.com. Oh, by the way, it appears Juliette Huddy, who joins us again, so nice back-to-back, belly-to-belly, that the hawk is talking. Yeah, the hawk is talking out there as the temperatures are beginning to plummet. Climate change, global warming clearly has taken a bit of a break again.
Well, I mean, it is mid-November. We should probably have temperatures in the 40s, right?
Yeah, I know, but it's been so screwy of late.
I know. Well, we'll probably have 70 degrees next week, so no.
Yeah, but the
Don't pack away your summer clothes.
The hawk is definitely talking out there. And just an update, there's 27 days until I go under the knife at Columbia Presbyterian. Still, for all the people who are out there saying, oh, you're a great guy, you're a stand-up guy.
Mm-hmm. Like me?
Top show, five-star, right?
Yes.
You're not willing to donate your colon to me.
Can you donate a colon without killing yourself?
Yeah, you could donate a colon. Don't worry. You just end
Can
up with
you?
A, yeah, you end up with a colostomy bag. Don't worry
well,
about
I,
it.
You know, I don't know. I'll weigh that. I'll see.
Oh, you'll weigh
I'll see.
That,
I mean,
huh?
I would like to save, you know, your life, make your life a little bit happier.
Meantime, Justin B. Love, our producer, the hipster millennial invader from Alabama, said to me he would donate his semicolon.
Oh, that's so thoughtful of you.
That does nothing for me. So 27 days.
Are you getting nervous? How is this affecting you?
No, I'm looking forward to this. Every day is misery. It's been this way for 2.5 years, and it's gotten worse.
What will happen once this happens? You won't have these attacks in the morning where you're violently ill? And
well, we don't know. It could be a one-week recovery. It could take more than a month. I will end up with a colostomy bag, which I've had before after I was shot. I'm going to have a morphine pump to deal with the pain during the recovery process.
And this will all be in the studio as you recuperate.
Yeah, well, depending on when they let me come back in the studio.
But you will have a colostomy bag and you will be on a morphine drip.
Oh, absolutely.
While you're here on this.
While
this
I'm
is going to be
while I'm here
great radio, people.
I've done this before.
Buckle
so
up.
I'm a pro. But I got hit with a bill yesterday for $1,900.
For what?
For a pharmaceutical product. A product that I have to take in advance of the surgery.
Now, why is this? Do you not have insurance?
Well, now I have to go to war, you know, because this is life. You
big
know?
Pharma and big insurance.
Big pharma, big
why
insurance.
Why do we have insurance if we can never actually get the drugs and the medicines without having to pay a fortune?
They give you some. The others are co-pays. You know, it depends. But on this one, so far, they're saying you have to pay the full freight, $1,900, and I need it in preparation to have the operation.
Now, is this a one-time supply, or are you going to have to re-up on this thing?
No, it's a one-time supply, and it's it's actually laced with a lot of steroids, which strengthen the stomach area so as to prepare for what will be the invasion into my body.
And
that's what it's
going to
be.
Yeah, I mean, this is not going to be a very easy surgery. You've gone through a lot. There's been a lot of trauma down there.
They've got to take a lot out. They've
got to
take
regions.
A lot of the intestines out. But hey, Matt Dahl, who's our operational manager, substituting for Brian Mongolucci today, the hipster, the millennial.
Where's he?
Oh, he's a Mama Luke. You know, he's intended. He's in planning to get married. What a mistake.
Oh, Tay.
She's got the ring right through his nose already. Right through the nose.
God love her.
But Matt, graduate of Ryder College, world-renowned marathoner. Why don't you donate your colon to me? Come on.
Yeah, you look healthy.
Yeah, come on. You know, Sid Rosenberg, Bernard McGurk, they were praising me yesterday. I said, donate your colon. No.
Well, yeah, I mean, you want somebody maybe 20 to do that. I mean, you don't want any geezers
rate,
like us.
At this rate, I don't care if you're 88, 98. I just need a colon.
If I said that I would give you part of my colon, would that be cool?
It's got to be the whole thing. I
but
need
we
the
need
whole
our,
colon.
I need my colon, though.
No, you don't. You can survive without your colon.
Where do you get this? Well, then why do you need it?
Well, because I've already had a colostomy bag. Why should I have to wear one again? Come on, Juliet. Do it for the team.
No.
Come on.
How much would you give me? I mean, let's see. Let's do a little wagering.
Let's find out out here if there's anybody.
What's your colon worth?
Who's willing to actually donate their colon to me? They always praise me. Oh, you're so wonderful. You're so great. Yeah, if I'm so great, but how come I'm not worth getting a donated colon from any of our listeners?
So I'm sure somebody out there would be happy to give you part of their colon.
And in fact, what we could do is we can video it and put it up on our website, you know, when they do the transplant.
Oh, yes. We should just do that anyway. I mean, even if there's no colon. And givers out there, we should still record this.
Come on, you fair weather fans out there.
We can Facebook Live.
I need a colon. Man, so woman, funny. Gender bender. I don't care if you're in sexual transition. It doesn't matter to me. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
Anybody that you would not take colon from?
Yeah, John Gotti Jr.
He'd be the best.
No.
You want that guy's colon.
Oh, hell no. I would not want
it. And take his heart while you're at it.
Yeah, and then I'll be like a Jadrul, right? A knuckle dragon. No. I have certain standards here. Come on, Juliet.
I hear you.
But look, not one call willing to donate their colon to me.
Eric has called. What does he have to say?
We'll get to Eric momentarily.
Stay tuned.
I'm going to give the numbers one last time because this proves that our listeners are fair weather friends. I need a colon.
I got
27 days, or they're going to put me in with another colostomy bag.
I have another one. What if Bo Dietl offered you his colon?
1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
Touch a little nerve there.
I didn't recognize the name because it's Bozo Dietl. But anyway, let's go to Eric, who's calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here on WABC. Eric.
Yeah, great show, guys, as always. Curtis, my heart goes out to you. If I didn't need it, you would have it in a heartbeat, okay?
Hold on a second. Eric, you don't need a colon. You can wear a colostomy bag.
For the rest of your life.
You know, I lost an eye, okay?
Oh, okay. So, all right. We recuse you.
Moving right along.
You've given enough. You've given up enough already.
Listen. Good RX.
Yes.
It's a free script. You go to the pharmacies.
Yes.
You own the insurance, and you go and download the app, and all the meds are really, really cheap at discount.
Great.
That's all I use.
Great. You know, I may have to go to Mexico or Canada to get this prescription, because I guarantee it'll be $19 there as opposed to $1,900 here.
But you're paying for the flight.
Yeah, but I mean, then you can go hang out on the beach for a little while.
Let's go to Dave, who's calling from Old Bridge. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, great show, Curtis, Juliet. But, Curtis, listen, man.
Yes.
You got to go to India. You get a colon, you can get anything. You can get a heart, you get a lung, anything you want in India.
Now, Dave, there's plausibility to that because...
All right, don't encourage
when this. I was in Pondicherry in India, they had a clinic in which Indian men were donating their kidneys.
They donate a lot of things.
Right.
Probably colons.
They were getting the operation there, and the foreigners were coming in.
Yeah, but these are poor people that are doing that. We can't encourage that.
And getting, hold on a second. Hey.
No.
Curtis. I need a colon. I'm not going to be wearing a freaking colonoscopy bag.
It sounds like you are going to be wearing a colostomy bag.
Wait a second. Why not? Why not venture back to Madras, to Bombay, to Pondicherry, or better yet, to the little New Delhi here in Queens, in Jackson
Heights? I've always wanted to visit that area.
Or Island and Edison, right? Hey, come on. There's got to be. You know how many Indians there are in the world, right? There's like, what, a billion and a half of them? Like one of them can give me a colon.
Focus around
I don't
locally.
Care. I'll worship Ganesh and Vishnu afterwards, you know, with all the elephant heads and the arms and legs sticking out of the
bodies. The phones are lighting up, Curtis. There could be an offer anytime, any moment.
Let's go to Sal, who I believe is calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here on WABC. Sal, you're going to give me your colon?
That's pretty intimate. I am a huge fan of yours for 40 years, and I want to thank you for being an advocate.
Well, obviously not that big of a fan if you're not willing to donate your colon.
Yeah, come on. Come on, Sal.
I will say this. I, by the way, I love Juliet in there. Keep her on the show, Curtis, when you get well. But maybe I'm thinking Chuck E. Cheese Schumer should donate it. but if you don't mind being full of hot air the rest of your life.
Sal, I would rather be room temperature, ashes to ashes, dust to dust,
so picky
and a cardboard.
Now.
No, no. The schmuck, don't make that the putz, Chuck E. Cheese Schumer, I'd rather die.
Okay, so no Gotti, no Schumer, no Bo Dietl. How about Chris Christie?
Shamu, El Jefe, Chris Christie.
Mm-hmm.
His would be too big. His colon would be so big, I would end up looking pregnant after they did the transplant.
The sound effects.
Yeah, you know what? The sound effects will come here. You see, you got to have them queued up here. Matt Dahl, his writer education leaves him a dollar short and a day late. 1-800-848-WABC.
Yes.
Could you imagine his colon, how big that has to be?
Maybe it's little now because he had the surgery. Maybe they went in did the colon, too.
No, he's fatter than ever before. Are you kidding? That lap band surgery didn't work for him like it did for Rex Ryan. Anyway, let's go to Mike, who's calling from Nassau County. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here on WABC. Hey, Mike, you gonna donate your colon to me?
My man, Curtis, real quick, to make you 20 years ago when I was with the MTA, we were talking. Cool, same age, Curtis, and a lovely partner, Juliet. Very nice. Thank God I don't have to listen to that ex-partner of yours, that liberal, kooky piece of garbage. Anyway.
Well, that way is that. That's another guy I would not take a colon from.
Please. Schumer, you know, related to Amy Schumer. And, you know, I mean, please. Charles.
List is
Schumer.
Getting a little lengthy for, you know, somebody who.
Oh, can I give you another one? Al Slim Shady Sharpton of the National Action Hate Network. I will not take his colon.
Right. Fast talking, 5 foot nothing racist is what he is.
Yes, yes.
Hey, real quick, Curtis, if I could, I'm 100% Italian, I would. Born in 1954 like you, brother.
Oh, perfect.
I would, but I can't because who knows what might happen.
What do you mean? Oh, my. But it's okay that I go under the knife at Columbia Presbyterian and end up with a colonoscopy bag.
The man is saying that he would offer it to you.
Curtis, I will be on your outreach program. I'll be helping you try to locate a formidable donor for the colon.
It's very nice.
A formidable donor. Do me a
Focus
solid,
Focus on the 20-year-olds.
If I drop, right, don't give me CPR, don't lip lock me, I'd rather die. What kind of help is that? I'm going to help you find a donor.
I mean, there are a lot of people out there. It's called contact. It's networking. That's what people do, Curtis. It's what the people of the new age do.
1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Franco, who's calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Juliet Huddy and Curtis here at WABC, Franco.
Franco.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. I got somebody that could donate his colon for you.
Oh, who is that?
Charles Manson.
You know what? He's on his last legs, thankfully.
That's what I mean.
Maybe we can reach out to him. Curtis, you've probably got some friends out in California and Vacaville?
Yeah, well, he was at Vacaville, the penitentiary for the criminally insane. No, Folsom's up north. I think they shipped him down south. But
well,
anyway,
wherever
I'm thinking, wait a second, Charlie Manson.
Can you imagine having his colon in your body?
He's got the swastika right on his forehead, and then all of a sudden I'd have to be the Beatles. I hate the Beatles. Helter Skelter. So it's not going to work out. And there is a very good chance he will drop dead as I pray each night before my operation December 13th.
Get
right.
it out first. Let's make some phone calls.
Charlie Manson.
Anybody have any hookups with Charles Manson out there?
I'm sure that some of our freaky deaky folks clearly do. They're probably zealous of his. Probably were adherents of Charlie's family years ago. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. When we come back, though, Juliet Huddy had quite the experience as a dashing Danielle on the Long Island Railroad yesterday.
I am changing the course of history. Things are going to change now. Things are going to change with the LIRR.
Hey, Matt, want to make yourself useful as our operational director here, Matt Dow? You don't need your colon. You could still be a world-class marathon runner.
We've already discussed this. Matt's already turned you down.
I'll teach you how to burp. You know, that Tupperware that'll hang off the side of your body.
Ken Duffy, it's his birthday tomorrow. Maybe you should try him. He's still young.
Oh, yeah. That's right,
and
Ken
he's
Duffy.
Fit. He looks fit.
You think you could take him out, get him half in the bag, and then all of a sudden we can do triage?
It's his birthday tomorrow. I'm sure he's going to be half in the bag or maybe all in the bag.
1-800-848-WABC. Juliet Huddy in the house. Let's go to the phones. And Billy's first up in the queue, calling from the turnpike. Welcome to WABC, Billy.
Hey, Curtis. Hey, Juliet. Thank you for taking my call. Curtis, several years ago, I had an uncle who was in his late 70s, early 80s. This is going back in the 70s, who had leukemia. And he had to go into the hospital every 2 weeks for complete blood transfusions. And eventually, they came up with a procedure back then where they replaced a valve in his heart with a pig's valve.
Oh.
And after that, he no longer required any transfusions. He lived for another 10 years into his 90s, and he did fairly well. Would you consider getting a colon from a pig?
Would you?
Well, my cousin Butchie, who was at my confirmation, he was the godfather at my confirmation at Our Lady of Miracles, he also had that pig's valve that you discussed, and right. It allowed him to live much longer. He has since passed on.
Do pigs have colons?
Yeah, pig.
Oh, sure.
Do they?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I don't know.
Pig will have a colon.
Done my porcine investigating lately.
Billy,
I have some good news for you, though, Curtis.
Wait, before you make the big news. How about this, Billy? We got two pigs we're going to talk about up next. The biggest Hazari is Bobby Menendez from New Jersey. He's a pig. And then there's Norman Seabrook, who got off on his charges after ripping off his union pension fund. He's a Hazari pig. But I guess I'll have to go the route of getting an actual porker.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, well here's, what do you think?
There's a promising situation here, Curtis. Listen, a surgical procedure can be performed to create a pouch in the small intestine that actually takes the place of the colon. So,
what are you, a doctor here?
I went on the Googles.
Oh,
and
yeah,
this
I'm going to put my faith in the hands of the Mayo Clinic.
This is from the Mayo Clinic.
Fake news.
This is from the Mayo Clinic.
Yes, okay.
We trust them.
Wait.
So talk to your doctors, or maybe give them. I'll give them a call a little bit later on today.
We'll discuss the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota.
Why not?
I have guardian angels. I've been to the Mayo Clinic. I don't like them.
Okay. Well. All
sorry.
Right. Okay.
I've been there.
I feel like you're wanting to take somebody's colon just randomly, just because you think it would be freaky and weird.
Yeah, Ken Duffy, it's your birthday boy tomorrow. You'll be half in the bag.
Well, how old are you, Ken?
How much do you weigh?
We'll do triage, right? We'll do a transplant.
When was your last physical?
My last physical, I can't remember.
Don't worry about it.
Do you think you're healthy?
Colon.
I think I'm pretty healthy.
I promise you this.
What?
I'll be nice to you from now on if you give me your colon.
What else can you give him? Because that really is not.
How about this? I'll praise the New York Mets if you give me your colon.
Jeez.
That's, I'm really sweetening
it up. Think about that.
But before we go to our news headlines, give us that update, the Long Island Railroad girl.
Well, I had a wonderful experience on my way home yesterday on the Long Island Railroad. Not only was the train on time, but the conductor never came around to pick up my ticket. So I have a nice little ticket that was going to take me home.
Wow, you could use that again, you know. You have, I think, a month's period of time.
That's what I'm saying. So I have it in my trusty little wallet, and I'm thrilled, and I actually thanked the LIRR, and they thanked me back.
You think that conductor was, like, throwing you something, flirting with you?
He never came by any of us. None of us had our...
Because he was Goldbricking, slacking.
I don't know what he was doing, but he can continue to do that because I was perfectly happy not paying.
What particular train were you taking?
I don't want to say because I don't want to get the guy in trouble. No, please,
I'll get him in trouble.
No, I don't want to do that.
What does he get paid, like $85 an hour?
No, because then he's going to like target me and he's going to, no, we cannot discuss.
Oh, you mean like this real sleazoid, Al Franken, targeted a fellow co-host of ours on radio.
Yes, and apparently other radio hosts.
Yes. Yeah, we're going to be getting into all of that.
Yes.
Hey, birthday boy, Ken Duffy, give me your colon.
Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
77 WABC.
Cash rules everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar bill, yo.
This might as well be the theme song for both the capo di tutti of all corrupt U.S. senators on the Hill, Bobby Menendez, who had a mistrial yesterday in downtown federal court Newark, as well as Norman Seabrook, the former head of the Correctional Department Union, and him clipping his members for pension funds so that he could end up with a Ferragamo bag stuffed with $60,000 from Reitnitch. Both of them clearly were motivated by cash dollars.
And isn't it interesting that two mistrials came down on the same day? That's highly unusual.
Well,
Ken Duffy was running around like a chicken with his head cut off yesterday trying to cover all the breaking news.
It is. It is. And it's really sad commentary on the fact that I think in these two cases, since I knew both of the accusations mm-hmm. against them, well, 18 charges of corruption against Bobby Menendez.
Right.
And
Senator from Hudson County, New right. Jersey. Corrupt county.
Oh, he was corrupt as a congressman, corrupt when he was birthed in Hudson County because it is so corrupt. But in regards to Norman Seabrook, a little different. I knew him better than I did Bobby Menendez, in fact.
How did you know him?
Well, because he came out of the Bronx, mm-hmm. but he was a wayward youth. They sent him up to Sugarloaf Union Free School in Orange County. And I think he was under the tutelage of the Pius XII religious order. And they banged him back into line because he was always a bright kid. He was on the basketball team. But he always, it was part of him that would veer to the dark side. And I think that's what came out in this trial from Reitnich.
He was tantalized by the money and the power and the favors?
Oh, yeah. And he had intentions of running to become mayor of the city of New York. but that was his intention. Anyway, let's go to the audio tapes outside of federal court downtown Brooklyn, where Bobby Menendez was using the race card.
Certain elements of the FBI and of our state cannot understand or even worse accept that the Latino kid from Union City and Hudson County can grow up to be a United States senator and be honest.
That's so contrived. And by the way, where is he getting that? What's his evidence? How does he even come up with that?
The prosecution came about not in the Trump administration, but the Obama administration.
Correct.
So black president.
Correct.
Black attorney generals.
Correct.
I'm not sure if it was Eric Holder or Loretta Lynch. And James Comey mm-hmm. was the FBI director. So James Comey all of a sudden orders his agents to investigate Bobby Menendez because yeah. he's a Cubano from Bergenline Avenue in Hudson County.
I mean, do you think anybody out there listening believes that? Is there any truth ringing to this?
Well, let's find out. Because there are a lot of Latinos who are listening where at times they have been targeted because of their ethnic
of
background.
Of course. This man, Bob Menendez, has done very, very well for himself. He's a Union City, you know, loved by Union City folks. I mean, where is the problem?
You know, the last time I heard a statement like that, it was made by Scarface, remember, in the movie, who said he was being targeted by the cops because he was a Cubano, you know, and you think we all just drug dealers and killers. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
He was also he got very emotional, too. So he was, you know, basically covering all sides of the spectrum. You know, just, it was emotional. A roller coaster yesterday.
Oh,
it was fascinating
like
to listen to.
Baby.
He was angry. He was complicit. It was all sorts of things.
And naturally, he had the priest right next to him with the collar. Come on.
Naturally. Yeah. It's such a... People, I hope you're not falling for this. This is just theater. This is what these people do.
Well, this is what he said right after he had shed those crocodile tears.
To those who left me, who abandoned me in my darkest moment, I forgive you. To those who embraced me in my darkest moment, I love you. To those New Jerseyans... Oh, who gave me the benefit of the doubt?
Stop.
I thank you.
Oh, God.
I'm surprised he didn't thank Cory Booker, his colleague from New Jersey, who was there throughout the trial, sitting in the front pew, you know, the PR pew, we call it, influencing
yes,
the jury
of course.
As the former mayor of Newark. And then Lindsey Graham, the Republican, his colleague in the Senate. You see, these senators cover up for one another.
Oh, yes, they do. Now, there are people that have tweeted me, as I mentioned yesterday, people who followed me at Fox News, who are incensed that this is not being covered more heavily by the big networks. I mean, is this interesting to people? I think it should be interesting to people that there's a New York senator who's out there now,
well,
after a mistrial, playing all sorts of cards. I mean, are we sheep? Do we really need to start?
But I think that's why Bobby Menendez survived as a congressman when he was a crook. And now as a U.S. senator, he's always flown below the radar screen.
Well, this is not flying below the radar.
I know, but you understand. Mm-hmm. Throughout the course of the job. Now, we got a lot of coverage, obviously, here in the tri-state area. But you're right. Nationally, not as much. And remember, first he was saying, oh, I'm a victim of this unfair prosecution because Barack Obama is seeking vengeance against me because I voted against his agreement with Iran to limit their development of nuclear weapons.
But that didn't resonate with
well, it did with Republicans. They all suddenly embraced them. I remember Rush Limbaugh, it was like they were attached like appendages. Oh, yeah, Bobby Menendez, great guy. And I'm screaming out, this guy's a crook. Look at Dr. Melgen, his benefactor, his Medici, who was paying for these trips back and forth, you know, on his private jet to the DR. And by the way, hey, just to be loved, the evidence that was never entered before this court were the times that when Bobby Menendez was flown to Punta Cana and the other vacation retreats on the DR by his Medici, infamous Dr. Melgen, who ripped off Medicare for millions with the help of Senator Bobby Menendez, that there were some Dominican hookers there who were left a dollar short and a day late.
She was promised $500. And she was paid only $100. No, she said he gave money to another guy who gave her money. ¿Dónde eso pasó?
Casa de Campo.
In Casa de Campo, here in La Romana.
Yeah, see? And he stiffed the hookers. He didn't even tip them.
Now, wait a second, though. Wasn't this debunked?
No, it's not debunked.
Are you sure?
Oh, who debunked it?
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
I
just, CNN, right?
CNN, I think.
Friends of Bobby Menendez.
Fake news.
No, it's not fake news, but they debunked it. But what was he doing in the DR? You're going to tell me he was there to lay out on the beach like Charlie Rangel did in the DR, looking like a beached whale, or he was just playing golf? You know.
Well, first of all,
taking advantage of the hookers there.
Did the jurors on the Menendez trial, did they know that Melgen is in prison?
No.
Did they have that information? They didn't have that information, right?
Each day he would be brought in, he was being housed in a correctional facility.
Right.
But they were never told that. You see, and that they should have been
told.
That
was a big problem.
He said he already ripped off the Medicare fund to the tune of millions of dollars with the help of his very dear Kumbari Cheech. And the guy who brought in his floozies, his gumadas with those visas.
So where's the failure here? Where was the breakdown here? The prosecution wasn't up to par?
No,
was it? What?
No, I think it's the jury, because you had a juror who handed a note out on behalf of the jury in the beginning that said, Judge, what is a U.S. senator? Now, you knew that was going to go south after that. Anyway, our number is 1-800-848-WABC. And this is finally what Bobby Menendez, a.k.a. Michael Corleone, said outside of the courthouse yesterday.
To those who were digging my political grave so that they could jump into my seat, I know who you are, and I won't forget you.
Ooh, and I won't forget you. Dun-dun-dun.
He's coming at him. Let's go to Alex, calling from Queens. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Alex.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm okay. Here, taking out my lunch break and listening to you guys. Yeah, of course he was guilty. The Dominican Republic is a third world country. The women there are starving for a few dollars. So here comes this U.S. senator with the big mega bucks paying these girls off. The God knows what they were doing for him or what they couldn't have done for him. All for the money. I mean, half the airplane should have been stuffed with Viagra for the poor guy.
Maybe it was.
It's totally legal over there. It's totally legal. So you can pick up as many women as you want. So just the fact that he was getting visas for them and probably flying over the family, it just speaks
Alex,
for itself how guilty he is.
What do you think about his comments about the elements, certain elements of the FBI can't accept a Latino kid, grew up to be an honest senator? What do you think about that?
That's BS. They're just throwing the race card there. You know, he has to defend himself somewhat.
Yeah, but Alex, you know, as I know and others in our audience know, that a lot of people will fly to the DR to get the underage female hookers there at a low bargain basement rate.
Of course, next to nothing. I mean, it's very sad. I'm from the Dominican Republic, and there's guys out there, I mean, wolves, that recruit girls at the age of 14 and 16 to bring them to, like, these strip bars. This is how it works. They have strip bars over there, and they're not really strip bars, because then if you like a girl that's there, you pay for the girl. You can take her out back off the premises. It's like a garage.
Oh, jeez. How lovely.
Car. Nobody knows who is in there. That way, if your wife passes by or somebody from the town, they don't see your car, you know? And if you want to take her, let's say, to the beach, you pay for her a little bit extra and she's gone. And if you have the long, a couple of more dollars, you can take her for a week or two. And the long dollars, I'm talking about maybe.
So you see, Alex and I are in solidarity. So you want to debunk that story? You know why he was going there. Come on.
Well, I imagine
that lard ass. You think any woman would want to be with that Mama Luke, that Mashad?
Isn't he married? Somebody chose him.
I don't know. He has a daughter who was with him, but I think he may be no longer married.
Well, I would certainly hope not. But all right, well.
1-800-848-WABC.
Curtis Sliwa.
Boom! The search for common ground begins today.
Founder of the Guardian Angels.
I got distracted. I thought Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels, was over there.
Curtis Sliwa.
There's a guy in a red hat.
Host of The Drive at 5, Curtis Sliwa.
We the people.
He's the New York State Reform Party chairman.
New York radio talk show host.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa is here.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yeah.
He's an American hero.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
What is this music?
It's Saturday Night Live!
Oh, yes. You know, Mr. Sliwa, we were talking yesterday about Al Franken, and, you know, former Saturday Night alum. And we were talking about whether or not there were going to be other women coming out in addition to this radio host from our sister station out in Los Angeles, Leanne Tweeden. Well, there are people jumping on the bad boy bandwagon. And again, another radio host. This one, though, from San Francisco, her name's Melanie Morgan. She actually came out and said that back in 2000, so it was a long time ago, but still, she said she was on Politically Incorrect on the panel, and she was on there with Al Franken. They had a little disagreement about, you know, some political topic. And afterwards, he asked the producer for her number and started badgering her and harassing her. Like, he couldn't get over it. He was just like, he was maniacal about this. And the guy sounds like he's got a screw loose. And then we find out that Roger Stone, the famous political operative, GOP guy, he actually came out with a tweet yesterday morning, or is some sort of website related to him, saying that things were going to be happening with regard to Al Franken sometime. Basically, he was going to be caught up in this whole sexual harassment situation as well. So interesting. I thought that why would he know something before it was announced?
Well, it's interesting that in the instance of the latest accuser, Melanie Morgan, she doesn't claim that he came on to her sexually or that he wanted to date her or he was putting his hands on her like in the previous situation of Leanne Tweeden. But it clearly indicates, as you mentioned, this guy's off the hook.
He has anger issues. There's
anger
a sort
issues.
Of simmering anger.
Right. And you look at the guy. He's whacked out. I mean, come on. You look at Al Franken.
Well, everybody would look at him and they'd think, oh, he's a comedian. You know, usually comedians are a little bit irreverent. They can be provocative. But this woman, this Morgan, right? Melanie Morgan from KSFO in San Francisco. She said she became fearful. And she called the producer to complain and said, you know, tell this guy to back off. I mean, this is Al Franken we're talking about, who's now a senator.
Well, he has thrown himself on the sword. He has impaled himself.
Oh, did he really, though?
He has said, Mitch McConnell, with his Kentucky bourbon, I will submit myself to interrogation by the Ethics Commission of the U.S. Senate. What an oxymoron that is, as if they're going to do anything. This corrupt cabal, that's a bunch of perps.
The Ethics Committee
in
should
the cloakroom.
Be investigating the two senators, one from the right, one from the left, who apparently have been dealing with sexual harassment issues as well.
You mean the House members?
Yes,
there are two House members.
Exactly.
And you know there are others. You know there are others where money has been spent.
Our
in
money,
a hush fund.
Tax money.
Right. That a lot of...
Crazy.
That a lot of congressmen, congresswomen... did not even know existed, that there was a hush fund. Now,
so why do we have an ethics committee? I don't understand.
Well, because
what's the point?
All it is it's just a front to try to make it seem like they're going to root out evil amongst their group.
They're fronting?
And that never happens. But anyway, as we're high atop Madison Square Garden, the great facilities provided to us for this broadcast on the 50,000 powerful watts of sound to all of you brought to us by NJDiet.com. The president decided to weigh in on this, and I'm saying to myself, wait a second. You've taken the code of omerta about Judge Moore. I get that. That's the right thing to do. Stay out of that, President Trump. But you yourself, who have been accused of being a perv.
I mean, we've heard what he says about grabbing women's privates.
And women have come forward and said that he did that.
Mm-hmm.
Why the hell would you immediately immerse yourself into this just because you're happy that one of your main accusers and main critics, Al Franken, is going down with the sexual harassment shit?
He can't help himself. He cannot edit himself. He goes with spontaneity. He cannot hold himself back. And to him, I mean, he's not mentioning anything, rightly so, about Moore, as you said. But I mean, you know, you don't want to infuriate the evangelical base, the ones who are largely supporting Moore. So you leave it up to the people of Alabama, as his press secretary said. But yeah, but he's spouting off about calling Al Franken Frankenstein and just taking pure joy in this, and it's ridiculous.
Now he said. So question number one to our audience is: shouldn't the president have stayed out of this one involving Al Franken and obviously his admission that he's guilty? He's done a Louis C.K. He's admitted he's guilty. It's not a question of do you believe her, do you believe him. He's admitted he's guilty. The president is taking the code of omerta on Judge Moore. I applaud him for that. But he decided to plunge into the Al Franken thing, getting a vicarious thrill about tweeting over his potential demise. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. And what led to Al Franken deciding to impale himself and say, no mas, no mas? It was Leanne Tweedin, our colleague at KABC Radio in Los Angeles, who really stuck it to him.
He just put his hand on the back of my head, and he mashed his face against, I mean, it happened so fast, and he just mashed his lips against my face, and he stuck his tongue in my mouth so fast. And all I can remember is that his lips were really wet, and it was slimy. Ugh. In my mind, I called him fish lips the rest of the trip, because that's just what it reminded me of. I don't know why. And he stuck his tongue down my mouth, and I remember I pushed him off with my hands. And I just remember I almost punched him, and I said, if you ever do that to me again, I'm not going to be so nice about it the second time.
And she said that for the remainder of their trip with the USO tour, he was petty with her. He was drawing little devil horns on pictures of her that she would give out to fans, you know, and some of the servicemen and women. And, you know, a lot of folks are saying, why didn't she come out back then? Why didn't she say something back then? She has an answer the way many, many women have answered the same question.
Well, in fact, this is what she said.
Mm-hmm. Look, I was afraid to speak out 11 years ago. I wanted to say something, and there were people around me who said, oh, my God, you will get annihilated, and you will never work in this town again. And I was afraid of that.
And unfortunately, mm-hmm. that's true. Unfortunately, that's
true. Very much true.
What is different in this case than the many accusers in the Judge Moore case, other than the woman Nelson, who brought forward her high school yearbook, and that's this contention now, was it his signature, was it not, is that we see the photo of Al Franken. Al Franken is glomming on to her breasts with a big, dumb grin on her face. Now, listen to NBC's Casey Hunt, who tries to explain this away.
He took a picture, which his office now says was a joke, that showed him potentially not actually groping, but mock groping her while she was asleep.
Well, I mean, actually, that's
mock
true.
Groping?
I mean, it doesn't.
He had his hands right on her breast.
Well, it doesn't. I don't know if he had his hands right on her breast, but it doesn't really matter. It's still disgusting.
No, no, no,
the
no,
left
I'm,
hand is not. You can tell the left hand is not, but the right hand
is
hard to tell.
Right on there.
I don't know. Is it?
Hell yeah.
But it doesn't. Who cares? It doesn't matter.
What do you
mean? The fact is,
what do you mean? It's not like you're pretending like I'm going to put my hands on your breasts and, you know, with that evil Dr. Doom look on his face. But he actually has his hands on her breast.
I don't know.
And I've heard other people make excuses. Oh, but she was wearing a Kevlar vest. She had the helmet on. She had fallen
asleep.
Well,
there is no. It doesn't matter if his hand is 10 feet away from her. He's look at him. I mean, and whoever took this picture.
He's a perv.
Is also complicit.
He's a perv. Well, remember, there's a whole plane load of people, and I'm sure some
of
them.
Yeah, a lot of people were sleeping, though, I have a feeling. But
were watching and knew exactly what had transpired. Anyway, let's go to Linda, who's calling from Long Island. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Linda.
Hey, Linda.
Hi, thanks. I was just going to say that this was all legal. She had a real picture. He admitted he did it, and that's why the president commented, because that was you know, in court, that's a legal situation. He admitted it. Now, in the other case, we don't really know. That was 40 years ago. I don't know that him, and I don't care which way it goes. It doesn't matter about him. The point is that we do have legal things
but,
in this country.
But, Linda, you are aware of the many allegations made against our president, his own statements to Bush that were played right before the election.
Billy Bush.
He couldn't get away from that. He was talking about grabbing a woman's private part, and he had a big sly grin on his face. You know he's done that before, don't you, Linda?
That was a joke. That was on an entertainment show.
Linda, yes, I'm telling you.
He wasn't a politician.
What do you mean he's not? Oh, excuse me. So,
it was a joke. They were just kidding around.
Here's what the president tweeted.
I didn't take it as a joke.
Here's what the president tweeted about Al Franken. The Al Frankenstein picture is really bad, speaks 1,000 words. Where do his hands go in pictures 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 while she sleeps? That was what he posted on his Twitter Thursday night.
Right.
So you really think the president himself has been accused by women of perving them that he should have weighed in on this situation?
Well, this was a legal thing that somebody in court, he admitted
he did. Yeah, so why is the president, why, Linda, let me ask you straight up. You think dealing with North Korea is more important than tweeting out about Al Franken?
That's exact. Thank you.
Well, he took care of that. You know,
no, he didn't take care of it.
You can't compare them.
Well, yes, I can. This is what a president's supposed to do.
The president should not be making comments on this.
He talks about everything.
Yes, that's
like
actually very true.
Like a yenta.
Exactly.
Maybe too much. He always does it, but that's the way he is. Everybody's different. All the presidents are different.
So you like that about him? The fact that he...
You don't like Trump. I never liked Trump, personally, but we got him because of Hillary.
Let's go to Vivian, who is calling from Queens. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC.
Vivian. Hi, Vivian.
Hi. I love your show. Always have listened. There's an expression, it starts at the top. I remember when Anita Hill accused Clarence Thomas, nobody wanted to listen.
Right.
Now everybody's on the bandwagon talking about this one, that one, and they're picking and choosing. It's so hypocritical. First of all, our society pushes sex through advertising, through every which way, and then we pick and choose who we want to pick on. They said that the President Bush groped somebody, but he's an older man, so you don't say anything.
Oh, wait, let's clarify that. Now other women are coming forward and saying when he was...
But she's just using that as an example.
I understand, but now when he was president, he groped someone. When he was erect and not in a wheelchair and fully functional, he groped on women. He's a serial groper, Bush 41.
Well, I don't know, but what I'm trying to say is, things that happened years and years ago, I mean, to me, it's what somebody does today. I mean, I'm sure in dating, people are coming out and saying, oh, so-and-so did this on my first date or my second date or whatever. I mean...
Well, Vivian, let's look at the Anita Hill situation.
Right.
Clarence Hill, when he was going to Yale University...
Clarence Thomas, I'm sorry. That's okay.
Same university that produced Bill Clinton... who now, as you can see, Gillibrand is saying, should have resigned from the Monica Lewinsky situation. His nickname was Long Dong Silver. That was his nickname. What does that tell you about
I can tell you what it tells
Clarence
us about.
Thomas back then?
Yeah, you don't have to answer that, Vivian.
No, of course you do. That was
Vivian's
his nickname.
Not ready to talk about Long Dong Silver
quite
yet. You know,
they'd be in study hall, and there was Bill Clinton on one side saying, hey, Hillary, look, there's Long Dong Silver over there.
There's always been predators. My daughter, when she was in a youth group, there was a guy who had a bad reputation. And he even wound up jumping out of a window of a girl's house when her parents came home, and he broke both his ankles. And then my daughter... Man. At the time, it was my stepdaughter who said, oh, can I date him? And I had to think because she never listened to anything I said. I said to her, well, I think he's a nice young man who would like to sow his wild oats, and I'd rather you not be hops. And that's what I said to her.
That's good advice. That's excellent advice, Vivian. 1-800-848-WABC. And let's go right to the phones to Mike, who is calling from Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here on WABC. Mikey?
Yeah, hey, how you doing?
I've had better days.
Yeah, I'm sure.
What do you think? What's your comment?
All right, my comment is Curtis is speaking strictly biased. He lives in the city, man.
What do you mean?
If Trump's injecting himself into this conversation, his voters want him to inject himself into this conversation.
Really?
Due to the fact,
you really think that the supporters of Donald Trump are more interested in Al Franken's problems as opposed to the budget, taxes, North Korea,
national security,
reforming health care, national security? Mike, do you really think
it's not interfering with that? He's just putting a comment out of there just to gotcha.
He spends so much time, Mike, let's be honest, whether you love Donald Trump or you can't stand him, the fact is you know that he gets obsessed about certain things. He probably spent
I agree, he gets a little carried away with that, but you know what? For years and years and years, we've been putting up with take it, take it, take it, take it, take it. And finally, we have somebody who's not taking it.
Now, wait a second. When you say take it, do you think it's smart to put out a tweet that brings everyone back to the Billy Bush tapes and reminds you that, yes, you yourself were accused by a series of women of being a perv? Do you think that makes sense, Mike?
Okay, well, I'm a Trump supporter, okay? And I might be biased myself, but I'm going to tell you this. It makes absolutely no difference to me. What makes a difference to me is that the Democrats, who, in my opinion, are destroying the country, are trying to interfere with his
so
agenda.
So can I ask you a question? Are you of the opinion, like I hear on our station, especially from Michael Savage and Mark Levin, that our pervs are better than their pervs?
No, all pervs should be put in jail. Don't get me there.
Okay, so that includes Judge Roy Moore, right?
If he's guilty, yes.
Okay.
You know, find it a little suspicious about Judge Moore.
Speaking of people who have been accused of misbehaving, Bill O'Reilly actually tweeted out. I was completely shocked by this.
Well,
he said, "What?
The mother of all pervs."
He
weighed in on this.
He commented on Al Franken. He said, "Al Franken is not worthy of a Senate seat, and his colleagues know it." Again, this coming from the guy who paid $32 million to a woman who accused him of being a sexual predator.
And other women.
Yeah.
So, Bill O'Reilly, this is like Trump tweeting. It's like...
Well, you should see the response on Twitter. I mean, people are just destroying him. It's the irony is just... chew it. It's so wonderful.
I would suggest to Bill O'Reilly, who I've known over the years, the same remedy I suggest to Donald Trump. Chinese finger traps. Stay away from Twitter. All it does is remind people... Hey, perv, you're one of the people that started all of this.
Hey, perv.
Right. I mean, why would you weigh in on this?
Because they don't want to have their legacy tainted by this, and they're trying to spin it. This is what they do.
I know. It shows you how partisan things are, that it comes down to our pervs are better than your pervs.
Well, that's why I have a pin right at the top of my Twitter saying, if you make this about party politics, you're an idiot. I'm going to block you.
Give me an example. Some Democrat, liberal progressives that I know have said, yeah, it's bad what Louis C.K. did, best friend to Bill de Blasio. It's bad what Al Franken did. But if you notice, they acknowledge their guilt. So that means your pervs are better than Judge Roy Moore. Or President Trump, or Bill
I don't
O'Reilly
understand this whole.
Right.
Why are we even looking at the Republican, Democrats, conservatives, liberals? It's so idiotic.
Some of our listeners do that with everything.
Well, that's very true. We tend to do that as a society. We do tend to do that
but
as a society. It's mind blowing.
Michael Savage, who follows us, all of a sudden he's sort of quiet on Judge Roy Moore. Mark Levin in Night 69, who was staunchly defending him from the
quiet?
Bunker. Well, you know they approach it, but. It seems to me they're withdrawing their support, but not in the state of Alabama that produced Justin B. Love yesterday, the Republican Party.
Sweet Justin.
In the land of the three-eyed cousin fornicators, where they marry their first cousins at 13, and they have no problem with that.
They do that up here in New York. Your buddy did that.
Oh, they used to do that. We're all behind Judge Roy Moore. But let's get our news headlines and updates from birthday boy Ken Duff.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Lewa, 77 WABC.
This brings me back to high school. Brings you back to what, your 40s?
Sly, Sylvester Stallone. I don't know if it's in Rocky 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, or more, but there was a period of time in which he was in Vegas in 1986.
He was shooting Over the Top in Vegas.
Right. He had his bodyguard, his equivalent to what Gilly was to Frank Sinatra, you know, his fixer with him. And as he's roaming about the hotel, a 16-year-old he meets who's staying with family friends. And she's like enamored with Rocky.
As you would be when you're 16 years old and you're seeing the superstar.
Right. And she says to his bodyguard, his Gilly type, hey, can I get an autograph from him? And he says, yeah. In fact, come back tomorrow. And she meets the bodyguard and he says, hey, here's a key to his room.
Well, she said that one of her friends got a kiss from Sylvester Stallone. And so, you know, on the cheek. And so she said, can I have a kiss on the cheek? And he said, well, if he made a pass at you, what would you do? And she said, oh, I'd make a pass right back at him. So next thing you know, yeah, there's keys being dropped into the 16-year-old's hands.
Right. So
allegedly.
Just like Gilly was a fixer and an enabler for Frank Sinatra, this Gavone, this musclehead, likewise performed for Stallone. So as a 16-year-old, she goes up and they have sex. And Stallone knows she's 16 and she has no problem having sex with Stallone. So that would have been the end of the story, right?
Well.
Except the bodyguard, the muscle head, is sitting in the bathroom of the room. And at a certain point, Stallone signals him to come in after asking her, have you ever had a three-way?
Mm-hmm.
And before she can even get words out of her mouth, here it is. He's got his manhood in front of her. Stallone has his manhood in front of her. And they force her to orally fixate them and to have sex with the both of them.
Oh, God. So anyway, she was kind of freaked out by it. Apparently, she says that were it just Stallone, she would have been okay with everything. But the fact that this Mike DeLuca guy came in, you know, that wasn't what she had planned. She didn't like it. She was freaked out. So she confided in a friend. That friend confided in another friend who went to police. So there is actually a police report, and right. this young girl was interviewed.
But like it always used to happen years ago, if you were somebody, if you had money, you could make almost any police report go away. I mean, look, Ted Kennedy made a murder of Kopechnik go away, right? I mean, come on. That's as big as it gets after having sex with her in the back seat and impregnating her. But that's for another day. So do you believe Stallone, who adamantly says this did not happen, I'm being set up here? Or do you believe the girl, when she was 16, when the police report was filed, as she was cooperating with the police at that time?
I have to tell you, if you look at the article, I mean, just do a little Googles, and you'll see some of the details that are in this police report. There are some very, very creative details if she's making this up. I mean, this just seems very, very...
Well, the worst thing is she objected to the three-way, and at the end of it, Stallone and the musclehead tells her, you better shut up. You better not tell anybody or we're going to beat the living daylights out of you.
Both of them were married, by the way, Stallone and his bodyguard as well.
Now,
whatever happened to the bodyguard?
He's dead. I think he got killed by the police in some kind of action years later, the LAPD. But hey, make yourself useful, Justin B. Love, and see if you can check that out. Now, my personal...
I think you're right.
My personal experience with Sly Stallone, big supporter of the Guardian Angels.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh.
Because at the time, the director of Rocky, John Avildsen, who obviously it was as big as it gets in Hollywood. He had Karate Kid, Rocky, he was on a roll. He was preparing to do Rocky V, and he had up at his house, gorgeous house up in the hills in Hollywood, the son of Stallone, and he was preparing him for his first acting debut.
Was that Sasha?
Sage.
Oh, Sage.
Moonblood Stallone, who unfortunately died at an early age. But he was featured in Rocky V. So he's teaching him the lines. You know, he's going through this, and I'm visiting John Avildsen because he had the rights at the time to do the Guardian Angel movie.
Oh, look at you.
And unfortunately, the writer, Dennis McIntyre, who had just finished writing State of Grace, which was about the Westies and Sean Penn, which was a great movie, he dies halfway through the project from lung cancer.
Oh.
So that's why I was there to try to figure out, okay, let's meet with a different writer, potential writer. Eventually, it turned out to be Dennis Hamill, the great writer for the Daily News, who was the brother of Pete Hamill.
Mm-hmm.
But the point was, I'm up there and I'm talking. And as John Avildsen goes into the back with Sage Moonblood Stallone, Stallone's son, to give him more acting lessons, I'm there with the crew that knows Stallone.
Right.
And I'm saying, he's a great guy, right? Stand-up guy. One guy gets up and goes, he's a freak.
Whoa.
I said, what do you mean he's a freak?
Who are these guys? They're
these guys were working, you know, with Avildsen in preparation for Rocky V. They had worked with Stallone on other movies. I said, guy's a freak. You know what he likes? He likes defecation while he's having sex.
Geez.
Oh, hey, this is what they told me straight up, and this has been a prevalent rumor in Hollywood for years, and that he likes rough sex.
Well, look, you can't fault somebody for that.
Look,
your proclivities are your proclivities, but this is a whole different thing when you're talking about a 16-year-old.
That's a bit freaky deaky,
well,
okay?
Yes, it is, but I mean, who are we to judge?
You know, golden showers, the whole nine yards.
Oh,
okay.
We got it. We don't have to get into all the freaky.
Oh, yes, we can.
No, not really.
Look, everything's open nowadays. Come on. The hinges have been blown off the doors, but that made me cringe back then, so that when I saw this report in the Daily Mail with the police report, very detailed, I might add, the girl was cooperating at that time, I said, yeah, I could see him doing it.
But so here's the thing. Will we start seeing more other women coming out and saying, okay, yeah,
with
this
Stallone?
Is
oh, yeah.
A, like youngsters coming out and basically, I mean, it sounds like he's a pedophile,
I have a feeling it transcends age also. I think it'll almost like Steven Seagal. You know, Steven Seagal will be sitting there and pulling out his manhood and waving it in front of actresses that he was auditioning.
I saw him at a party out in Hollywood when I was in my early 20s, and he walked around with one of those long, you know, kimonos.
Right.
And he walked around, and he wouldn't talk to anybody. He just walked around with this sort of regal arrogance. It was the weirdest thing. He just wouldn't speak to anybody. Just walked through the crowd. It was bizarre.
I'm in a keto master. Get out of here. I'll knock you out. You know, he testified against Peter Gotti in a Gambino trial and broke down and cried on the stand and wanted a banky because it was so cold in the courtroom. This tough guy, Steven Seagal. But anyway, our number is 1-800-848-WABC. The latest out of Hollywood, 1-800-848-9222.
I have a funny story for you.
Sure, go ahead.
Did you hear about what happened with Gene Simmons from Kiss?
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday, I think
friends
it was?
Of Bernard McGuirk, Sid Rosenberg, and Jill Vitale. Oh, they love Gene Simmons.
Well, he was over visiting Fox News yesterday. Actually, Fox Business.
Yes.
And he was doing press, whatever, for his book. He apparently just busted into some meeting and started like yelling things. Ripped his shirt open. I guess he was wearing a red velvet shirt. Ripped it open so his chest is showing and says, "Ladies, sue me, ladies." And was just completely bizarro. Was hitting people on the head with his book and
perving out.
So he's banned. This is the best thing I've heard. He is banned because he did that. He's banned for life from Fox News.
So,
Fox Business.
Matt Dowell, our operational director,
funny.
Is he banned from the Bernard McGuirk, Sid Rosenberg, and Jill Vitale show? Of course not with them. They love perverts. Anyway, our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. And let's go south of the Mason-Dixon line to our favorite state of late, Alabama, where now not only is Judge Moore doubling down, but he's going to be taking his wife out on the campaign trail at every stop as she is going to be the lead speaker in defense of her husband.
So the liberal press, Washington Post, who endorsed Hillary Clinton, who also endorsed our opponent, gets involved in this race along with the Human Rights Campaign, the DNC, and the Washington establishment. All of the very same people who were attacking President Trump are also attacking us. So let me set the record straight. Even after all the attacks against me, against my family, against the foundation, and now against my husband, he will not step down.
That's right. This is their go-to thing now, you see. Basically saying that it's picking up on this whole fake news thing. You can't believe the media. I mean, she says, you know, they've gotten involved in this race. The Washington Post has got, they're reporting on individuals who are leading this country. I think that's okay.
Well, Justin Beloved, if you can grab the microphone momentarily, I'm going to ask you, since you're a proud son of Alabama, it's clear that Judge Roy Moore is not leaving the race. I actually agree with that. I don't think this race should have interference from the outside, the president, Mitch McConnell, anyone else. Let the people of Alabama make the decision. They've seen all the allegations. They've listened to Judge Roy Moore. They know him well. They've been introduced to these many women in different forms.
But you know the evangelicals are sticking to their guns, and they are sticking behind him. They're the ones that get out and vote.
Yeah, but some of them, I think, are beginning to vacillate. But Justin Beloved, you know Alabama. That's where you were birthed. Does he have
Sweet
a chance
Justin.
To win this election with less than a month to go?
He always has a chance, but Roy Moore always has what I call a high floor and a low ceiling. So his supporters will stay. The other GOP will not. They just will not show up and vote. So my guess is the latest poll out now is that he's down by 8. My guess
surprising?
Is that he loses by close to 15%.
Yeah, but you see, now that he's doubling down, won't that sort of renew his support with people? Because, you know, it's like we're battling all the outsiders, Washington, the media, everyone who's perceived of as not being from Alabama.
Yeah, well, he's also battling local radio and local media. As you know, Matt Murphy, we have him on at 5. That's a conservative talk station that has turned their back on Roy Moore. They want nothing to do with Roy Moore.
Hmm. And these are locals who
locals,
are familiar
not, not
with
the
him.
Fake news.
What was going on yesterday? That I saw some tape that you were playing with some folks out there who were yelling at the media.
He had a faith news press conference for faith leaders who were still behind him. After the press conference, Roy Moore runs into the kitchen of this church and doesn't take questions. The media tries to barge into the kitchen, and his supporters make a wall and just start yelling at reporters.
Well, when we come back, could we hear that audio? Like to hear Alabamans sort of forming this circumference, this wall of protection around their beloved Judge Roy Moore, the perv of all pervs.
Did you stop beating your wife, yes or no?
Sir, are you,
did
are
you,
you a man
stop
of faith?
Beating your wife,
you
or yes or no?
Are you a man of faith?
See,
a man of faith
did you stop beating your wife? Answer, yes or no?
To meet my wife?
Yes or no?
Well,
I said yes or no.
I love you.
Well, you don't have
yes.
an answer for it because it's a logical fallacy.
Sir,
you are a
you
clown.
You were asked to ask questions about the issues.
They
the
did
issues
not do it. They don't
state,
care about
the
doing that.
The issues about our country. You were not asked to ask personal questions about Mr. Moore. We wanted to hear
personal
what he had to say about the issues, and you did not allow it because you are the fake, lying news from the swamp.
I'm an Alabama reporter. I live in Birmingham.
Yeah, I'm understanding.
And we haven't had a chance to ask our Senate candidate questions all week.
Well, I'm sorry about that, but you could probably imagine why, couldn't you?
No, because we should be able to ask our candidate questions.
So, this was the human corridor that was created by supporters of Judge Moore after he gave a press conference in which he invited the media.
Right. He was the one who called this press conference, knowing, and he calls it amid all of these accusations.
Right. So, it gets his message out, which is fine.
And he can run away. That's fine,
right,
too.
But the reporters just simply want to follow up questions, which is their right. And he runs into a kitchen and hides. While his supporters badger the media, you know, they think everyone out there is New York Times or Washington
CNN,
Post, CNN,
yeah.
MSNBC. And here are a group, not all, some, that are local reporters who are saying, well, we just want to ask the candidate running in Alabama some questions relative to the campaign.
It's just unrealistic. And
well, it just means what's traditionally heard here in other stations, when it's so partisan, our pervs are better than your pervs. It's even gotten down to that. If you're on the right, your pervs are better. If you're on the left,
a predator,
our pervs
a predator
are better.
Is a predator.
Right. If they misuse it, they should lose it. Castration should be their cure.
Screw political parties.
Well, actually, just feed them all saltpeter in the morning and their Cheerios.
Oh, yeah, or that.
Curtis Sliwa.
Boom!
The search for common ground begins today.
Founder of the Guardian Angels.
I got distracted. I thought Curtis Sliwa
from
the Guardian Angels was over there.
Curtis Sliwa.
There's a guy in a red hat.
Host of The Drive at 5, Curtis Sliwa.
We the people.
He's the New York State Reform Party chairman.
New York radio talk show host.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa is here.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yeah.
He's an American hero.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
As
as free as the wind when he blows, as free as the grass grows, born free to follow your heart. Live.
Oh, that's a beautiful sound.
The elephants being herded together. And this is all on the heels of our government lifting the ban on importing elephant trophies from Zimbabwe and Zambia.
This is what we did. We banned the importing to the United States of trophies back in 2014. President Obama did that.
Right, he did. And clearly we know that with Donald Trump, he is not a hunter. But his two sons are, and they go out for live game, like elephants, lions, and others. And they like to have them actually stuffed, put up on a posting. And whether they hang it in their office or their home or wherever, they like to have these as trophies. And
these
they're not
beautiful,
alone.
Majestic animals. No, they're not alone. I mean, you paid $37,000 thereabouts to go over to Africa and shoot these incredible animals, these beautiful, beautiful creatures.
In fact, when I was in South Africa organizing Guardian Angels in Cape Town, one of our sponsors there, one of our supporters, was actually a taxidermist who was involved in this kind of capacity. I visited him at his ranch with his wife, and they're both in the process. Hunters will come to South Africa purposely mm-hmm. to bag big game that right. they have on these preserves. And they will then bring it to this ranch, and they will prepare it. And there's a whole process involved from skinning to stuffing to doing all the things and preserving it mm-hmm. and then mounting it. It's not an easy task, but then they would have to ship it overseas to wherever the hunters are from. Most of them, they said, were Americans, but quite a few Europeans, too. Who would come to South Africa, they would pay an extraordinary amount of euros or American dollars in order to get the license to go onto an animal preserve and
right.
to be involved in a kill.
Right. I mean, it's about $37,000 to go and go on one of these hunts. You know, you go to some, they've got these expedition companies and you pay them money and then you get your stuff. And a portion of the money goes to conservation, which I just find incredibly ironic.
Well, I was actually at a preserve, which is where the former nuclear depot for weapons were in South Africa when apartheid was disassembled mm-hmm. and Nelson Mandela came on board. They had six nuclear weapons at the time, the Afrikaners did, mm-hmm. the white government. When Nelson Mandela came on, he just like Gaddafi, he eliminated the nuclear weapons supply. And they turned that whole facility into a preserve. So I was actually able to go through all the catacombs, see all the missile silos
oh, wow.
and such. No, it was extraordinary.
Did you get to go on a safari?
No, because I'm not one that is a believer that you should be going out there hunting wild game.
No. Just like a safari, just driving around, seeing the beautiful
animals.
Okay, because that's, I think, what tourists like to do.
The elephants there. Saw the other animals.
Were they alive? Because
yeah.
apparently
they were alive.
They're finding lots of dead carcasses of elephants scattered around Botswana in particular.
Oh, the poachers. Yeah, the poachers.
You know, ripping off their tusks, ivory, you know, beautiful ivory, but they're killing these animals
while
they're doing it, obviously.
The Asians, for some strange reason, think that it has an ability to help your libido. It's an aphrodisiac. So they lust for the ivory tusks. They'll grind them down, put them into a powder, or they'll make all kinds of medallions and all kinds of jewelry out of it. Anyway, as we're high atop Madison Square Garden, the great facilities provided to us in order to do this broadcast by NJDiet.com, I have found an unlikely coalition of talk show hosts right here at WABC
mm-hmm.
under our big tent. We're normally at each other's throats. We're in disagreement.
Yes, you're always dissing people behind their back.
Not on this. Last night on the Mark Levin show, and remember, he's a big gun promoter.
Mm-hmm.
He promotes hunters' rights, but he basically took a position opposite what the United States government, the Trump administration, has done in lifting the ban on importing elephant trophies.
I support this ban. I don't want to see the elephants gunned down. I support the ban on
importing into our country these elephant heads, the trophies, if you will. I think these are majestic animals, the elephants. Well, Mark, your post on hunting deer, I didn't say that. But there's certain animals, yes, I object to.
That was great. But then, actually, a person who on many occasions has spoke about his love of the elephants and the depleted elephant herds in Africa is Michael Savage, who follows us.
The elephant herds are being decimated in Africa to an extent you don't want to hear about because there's so many problems in the human world. No one wants to hear about it. But the African tribes are so desperate for money, and the market in China amongst the emerging bourgeoisie, the middle class, the show-offs, who want a rhino horn, an elephant tusk for their new condo somewhere in Shanghai, a little ground-up powder to give them an erection. They're killing the elephants at an alarming rate where they're going to disappear in our lifetime.
It is true.
Well, they're, you know, they're finding little baby elephants. I mean, four-month-old elephants. But here's the thing. So this ban, this lifting of the ban by the Trump administration, this was spurred on by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Department because they said that sport hunting, if it is well managed, would actually provide incentives to the local communities there in Africa, in Zimbabwe and Zambia, to protect the elephants. So I guess their theory is that killing elephants will save elephants. I don't understand. I'm missing out on this.
Well,
please help me understand this.
Having been in South Africa, elephants, as much as we love them, especially if you're a Republican because that's the symbol of your party, they can also decimate crops. They'll go through crop fields like locusts, you know, through a cornfield.
Is that why it is legal to kill elephants in Zambia and Zimbabwe?
Yes, because not only in terms of crop damage, but at times they'll like stampede towards humans.
Right. Oh, yeah. And they're very quiet, too, ironically.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So I understand it from that perspective. Obviously, poachers, as far as I'm concerned, should be lined up along a wall and shot in the back of the head, mm-hmm. along with Mugabe, the dictator who is now in hiding there in Zimbabwe.
He's on his last legs.
To see which new government comes into form there as the military has taken over. But it is a tremendous form of revenue for these countries as Bawana hunters, mostly white hunters, come in, pay mm-hmm. extraordinary amounts of money, American and Euro currencies, to go hunt. And then they want these trophies in return. Obviously, I use the Trump brothers as an example because there are so many pictures of them with big game trophies.
Right. It's... Yeah, I mean, there's one picture you can just Google right now, and it's one of the Trumps, so I think it's Donald, holding this beautiful tiger. I mean, this dead tiger. Beautiful animal. You know, it's the Safari Club and the National Rifle Association. They are the ones that banded together. They wanted to block this ban. They did not want this ban to happen.
Now, there are animal preserves in Texas where they have a lot of these African wild animals on preserve, and you can purchase a permit and you can help sort of whittle the herd, you know, and they also do maintenance and they obviously do upkeep so that you're not going to wipe out the herd. But they don't want that experience in Texas. They want it in the wilds of Africa, the hunters. Anyway, our number is 1-800-848-WABC. Whose side are you on in this? The Trump administration that has lifted the ban on importing elephant trophies? Or are you joining? This is an unlikely, almost quinella here, of Juliette Huddy, Curtis Sliwa, Michael Savage, and Mark Levin, who say no, the ban should
so cruel.
Stay in effect. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Andrew first up in the queue, calling from Ledgewood. Welcome to Curtis and Juliette Huddy here at WABC, Andy.
Hey, how are you guys? I guess I just wanted to say, I just saw a study recently, or a documentary, where they said when people would, if you have it where people can go and hunt these animals, and they were in a wildlife preserve or something like that, they would tell the people that would want to hunt, look, this is the animal you got to kill because this animal is killing the babies or whatever. It's a nuisance to the wildlife. And there are places in Africa where it actually has helped stop poachers. However, I'm still against the lifting of the ban. But if it could actually be run where in Africa, in some of these places where it has actually been effective, where people can still, I guess, get their rocks off and, you know, kill these animals and get whatever they want, paying for it, but that money goes to support the other animals, you know, I wouldn't be opposed to that, but those are few and far between. But it does happen.
Well, yeah, but what is the purpose of mounting the animal afterwards?
Oh, it's disgusting.
I mean,
if you're doing it for food, that's one thing.
Right.
I mean, if you know, but just as a trophy, I mean, look, I enjoy hunting occasionally. I would go out with my uncle, but we would eat the meat. We'd eat everything, just about.
Yeah, but you know,
just
what
doing
it
for sport to like, me, I cannot wrap my head around that. I just think it is absolutely animalistic to do
for a
human to do that.
Through some men's living rooms and studies. And basements where they have their kills mounted.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of like being in the Museum of Natural History, you know. But it's sort of creepy that it's in somebody's house and not in a museum.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's go to the phones. 1-800-848-WABC. And it's Vince who's calling from Fairfield. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here.
How you doing there, Curtis? I know you've had better days. Listen,
very good, very good.
I think you should... say something about the fact that without these hunters, I'm not a, you know, I was always a small time hunter, but I would never kill an elephant. But if it's not for the money generated for these expensive hunts, they wouldn't be able to hire former poachers who are decimating the elephants. There wouldn't be any elephants if they didn't have all this money that these rich guys are spending to glorify their man caves.
Yeah, so basically, and I understand what you're saying, they're bribing the poachers not to cull the herd and take away the ivory.
That's exactly what it is. He's absolutely right.
They don't cull the herd either. They just murder them.
Yeah, well, they always think they're culling the herd because the poachers will tell the local villagers, look, because of us, they're not stampeding through your village. They're not raiding your crops. They're
not doing damage
to the
trees. It doesn't seem like kind of a crock to you. Let's kill elephants to save them. I don't know. Something doesn't compute for me.
I understand from that point where farmers, and especially they'll destroy trees, they destroy crops, and at times they'll just like stampede through a village. Hey, would you like to be turned into a speed bump by an elephant?
Not particularly, but you know, hopefully the city will keep them out.
1-800-848-WABC. You know, not every elephant is like the Dumbo cartoon elephant you read about when you were a kid.
I used to. I actually dated a guy who was works for Discovery, and he was a conservationist and lion tamer guy. And I actually he let me meet an elephant, this massive, massive elephant. It was so just beautiful and sweet. What is that face? He's making this really hideous face.
How many people have you dated?
Oh, be quiet.
I mean, we could start counting.
I'm 35 years old. I've dated quite a few people.
Fingers and toes to count all these
people.
Well,
was I supposed to just sit there and read?
Well, go to the convent.
Well, I guess, yes. Okay, they wouldn't want me, trust me.
1-800-848-WABC.
Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
77 WABC.
To the phones we go to allow American hunters to mount their trophies, elephants specifically, or other big game catches that they make. Just think the next time you walk into somebody's house, there's Dumbo up there on the wall staring at you.
There's the argument that this is going to help keep these endangered animals, actually put them back on the non-endangered list.
And by the way, it's the symbol of the GOP.
I know. So.
And what does an elephant do? They never forget. But what is the symbol of Democrats? Donkeys, burros, mules. That tells you a lot.
Okay.
Just don't get kicked in the head by one of them. Anyway, let's go to Bob in Long Island. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Bobby.
I got a good solution to the whole problem.
All right.
Suppose we let the big game hunters hunt the poachers.
The big game
I am down
hunters.
With that, Bob. I'll back you on that one.
Hunt the poachers. And while they're at it, because obviously Robert Mugabe, the dictator in Zimbabwe, where these hunts take place, is under protection of the military as they have launched a coup d'etat, he and his evil wife, he was the one who perpetuated group rape by his followers so that they could oppress their opponents. So for a period of time, when they wanted him out, you know, they wanted term limits because the guy was there since the country reverted from apartheid era Rhodesia and Ian Smith to being led by the hero of the liberation, Robert Mugabe. He wouldn't give up leadership.
Mm-hmm.
So he actually got his followers involved, his young male followers, to go out and involve themselves in group rape of any of those who were opposite him, including men. So not just women,
but men. Nice.
What a
wonderful interview. Where do you come up with this stuff?
Hey, you study. And by the way, you know who sponsored him here at City Hall in the Red Room when he visited?
Let me guess. I don't know who.
No, it wasn't Comrade Bill de Blasio.
This was even beneath his standards, many years ago, probably.
Charles Barron, the evil one, who then was the city councilman from Brownsville, is now the assemblyman representing the district. And there were other people of color of the city council who were there to toast the evil one, the dictator, the butcher, the man who group raped those who were opposed to him, Robert Mugabe. Anyway, let's go to the phones. And to Ian, who's calling from Oceanside, welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC, Ian.
Hey, Curtis, I just want to bring up with the, you know, you couldn't pay me $1 million or you, obviously, to shoot a lion, but to the people that are eaten, like 500 family members are eaten by them, and until money is brought into the village, a poacher will shoot and kill something for the greed of himself and a few, whereas if the villagers see that millions of dollars come in, like Teddy Roosevelt, to go on safari, to kill a kudu, a lion, tiger, elephant, me and you see it as one thing, appalling, but there's no money that comes in from poachers. Whereas if the village understands we can make $10 million a year, they'll see that instead of being trampled by elephants, they'll start to breed them, make sure that they're taken care of.
Yep.
They will lock the poachers up because they'll understand they're stealing from the village. And until people shoot them with cameras and it's worth more money, things won't change.
But that is the argument. Yep. That is the argument. That's exactly what they say. That is the defense.
Yeah, but you know something? Poachers do bring money into the villages because they are from the villages. So to act as if these poachers are not nourishing the villages, of course, because then they recruit from the village and everyone gets their payday after they extract the ivory from the tusks and then begin the process of deporting it to Asia. No, there's a lot of money made
this
by
is such
poachers
a depressing
to go into the village.
Topic. Oh, my God. Can we talk about dogs?
Oh, we'll do that up next, but first, Lee from Rockland. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Lee?
Hey, Curtis. How you doing? Love the show. Listen, it's disgraceful. It's shameful that these beautiful animals, you know, that were put on Earth are being hunted and destroyed the way they are. It really is disgraceful, you know, and I'm not an Obama supporter. I'm actually a Trump supporter, a member of the NRA. But there's no question that they should not lift this ban and give them free rein to go out and kill these animals.
Lee, no way. From your lips, from Mark Levin's lips,
Michael Savage's
lips, who are close to the president,
Juliet Huddy,
you're not close to the president. So we're not going to resonate the way Lee Wood, who's a supporter of Trump, and more importantly, Mark Levin and Michael Savage, who are all joined in solidarity with us. They're just saying the U.S. should continue the ban on importing elephant trophies from Zimbabwe and Zambia. But right now, let's get our news headlines and updates from Ken Duffy.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Lewa, 77 WABC.
Black Dog, Led
Zeppelin. One of your favorite songs, I bet.
Yes, classic. So why are we talking about Led Zeppelin and Black Dog?
Well, let me ask you a question. I'll throw it back on you. What do you think, which animal do you think would provide you with a healthier life? Which animal, if you have them as a pet, would help you live longer? Cat or dog?
Oh, cats. I have three cats.
You are wrong.
Rescue cats. There's Hercules,
very sweet,
the Siamese cat. There's Apollo, who's the tuxedo cat. And there's Athena, who's like the mud cat. And they actually will sit on my lap when I have high blood pressure, and they bring the blood pressure down.
Well, see, that's very comforting.
And you know,
yes,
with me, I have anger management issues.
Yes, you do.
My blood pressure oftentimes is like when I want to strangle Matt Dahl, our operational director, 220 over 120. It's important.
Well, have you ever thought about getting a dog? Maybe your all of your pain problems. Oh, well, how did that work out?
During those years that you saw in the Guardian Angel documentary Vigilante from 1979 to 1992,
yeah.
When I was up in the Bronx, I had a dog.
How did that work out for your health?
He saved my life a few times.
See, well, there you go. But because a lot of people say, you know, cats are more restful, they're more peaceful. Dogs, you know, they're too much energy. But actually, it turns out that dogs are healthier for you, for your survival, for your health. Because I would imagine the reason. I mean, before I even looked at the study, I would imagine the reason would be because you have to walk the dogs, you have to take them out, and you know, you're constantly moving around with them. Cats, they just kind of sit there.
Oh, you mean so you get rid of your loud ass by walking the dog all the time? Because if you don't, the dog's going to poop in your house and do everything else.
I wonder if Senator Menendez has a dog.
No.
Maybe he should get one.
No, let's face it. No dog would want to be with Senator Bobby Menendez. But you would prefer a dog. Have you had dogs in your life?
I do. I actually have dogs. Well, technically, my mom has my dog because I have a Chihuahua named Gomez. And she has a Chihuahua she adopted from Puerto Rico. His name's Cheeto because he's yellow.
Why these fluffy little yarn ball dogs?
They are absolutely, they're not fluffy, first of all. No, they're not, but I don't want a manly dog. Why would I want one? They're little guys, but they're very sweet. They're short hair. They're not shedding everywhere. They're the sweetest, kindest, most adorable things on the planet. And they make me, in fact, I'm going to tweet a picture. If you guys are on Twitter, I'm at Juliet Huddy TV. I will tweet a picture of my two dogs. My mom walks around, kid you not, people in Union City, you've seen this. People in Hoboken have seen this. She has them in a little baby carriage.
She has Chihuahuas in a little baby carriage?
I know. They're in sweaters. My mom is not one of those women. She's really not. But Gomez has little, he has issues. He has like little leg issues and back issues. So he can't really walk far anymore. So she had to throw him in the baby carriage and Cheeto wants to hang out
and
with Gomez.
How do people react to that along the line?
Qué linda. They think it's so cute. They think it's adorable. It really is. I'm going to tweet a picture right now. And while I do that.
And having both the dogs, her dog and your dog.
Yes.
Does that make her healthier? Does she feel it?
My mom is, I don't want to say how old she is. She's listening. She's probably going to be really pissed if I say this, but she's in her, let's say, early 70s.
Okay.
She looks like she's not, she looks like she's 50. I mean, she looks incredible. She has this great body, but she's constantly walking these dogs. I mean, winter, spring, summer, fall, she's constantly walking these dogs. Or pushing these dogs, I guess I should say.
No, actually, my son, Anthony Chester Sliwa, my oldest son, this past weekend told me a story when Nancy Regula, my girlfriend, verified it, that they both saw on the block that we were staying.
Yes.
A woman walking a cat.
Oh, I've seen that.
With the little leash. And I'm saying to myself, I've never seen anything like that. Is this starting a new trend? You walk your cat on a leash?
I've seen that before. People get really wacky about their animals. I've seen people walking a pig in the city. Well, I've only seen one person walking a pig. But Gomez and Cheeto, okay, so I just tweeted the picture. How cute are these dogs? They're little.
God, get them away from me.
Oh, come on, Curtis.
God, that's
you
not
have
a manly
cats.
Dog. By the way.
Why would I have a man? Who cares?
Well, let's open up our phone lines on that. Having dogs, does that make your life healthier? Or maybe even if you have cats or other animals? Or does it give your life sort of so much more that you have to deal with that it actually makes your life more chaotic?
I can give you some numbers.
Which increases your stress and your tension. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
For people living alone, for all you singletons out there, owning a dog could decrease the risk of death by 33% and the risk of cardiovascular-related death by 36%. Why? Because you're walking them, you're getting out there with them, you have to take them out, unlike a cat that just sits there.
What about
like a blob.
If you have a porky pig, right?
You can
like,
potentially
let's say
walk that too.
You have Senator Bobby Menendez, a Hazari, a real pig. How is your life better? How does that make you healthier?
Because you're moving. You're following them around. You have to take them out. They're not just sitting there like
so
the cats.
When
like
when you're slopping the hog there, right? Suey, suey, suey. It makes your life healthier, right?
Yes. I mean, they have to be taken out. You're not going to let them, you know, defecate in your apartment, unlike your cat.
God.
These are actual statistics. I mean, this is important. So, by the way, also, dogs can sense certain things. They can sense certain diseases. You've heard of that, right?
It can. So if they know you're diseased, do they run away from you?
No, they start to go, you know, they snuggle up to you. They can.
Can they take your blood pressure down?
Potentially, yes. Well, you said that they could. They can sniff out and detect skin, bladder, breast, colon, lung, and ovarian cancer.
Oh.
I read it on the internet.
Could I have a transplant, a dog's colon? Because I need a colon for my operation on December 13th.
I actually did put a call out there on Twitter. Nobody seems to have responded to the call for a colon.
No, they're fair weather friends. Anyway, let's go to Dana, who's calling from Huntington. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Dana?
How you doing, Curtis? Juliet, how are you? I've called in before. I've had dogs my whole life. I've had cats my whole life. I think it's a great thing. You are 100% right. We walk, we run, you play with them. I think
we laughed, we cried.
Right, of course. I try to put a couple down. It's not an easy thing.
Oh, can you? That is the worst thing. Oh my God, putting an animal down, that's just horrific.
Well, let me ask you a question. Who's more loyal? Who's been more loyal over the years to you? Your many boyfriends, your many husbands, or your many dogs?
Please. Dogs. Absolutely. With a bullet.
Anyway, let's go to Tammy, who's calling from Riverhead. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Tammy?
Hi, Curtis. Hi,
whoa.
Juliet.
Hey.
I love your show. So happy to talk to you. Yes, I am a huge animal person. I actually work with disabled adults, and I have sugar gliders that I take to work with me every day.
What is that?
A sugar glider is a little marsupial. It looks like a flying squirrel.
Oh.
Only about a quarter pound. You should Google them. They're adorable. Absolutely adorable. I take Rocky and Pebbles with me every day. They're my little sidekicks. I take them out, and instantly people just smile. They're happy. A lot of the adults that are having behaviors will instantly calm down and want to pet them.
Oh, they're cute. Oh, my God. Wait a minute. They look like little bats.
They do. They do look like little bats. They're from Australia, Indonesia. Mine are cuter. But
these are. Look at how cute this is, Curtis. Wait, so how do you... So I'm looking at one right now. Some person has it in a hand.
It's like a rat with wings.
It's adorable. Is it?
Yeah,
is it fun?
Mine are so social because I take them with. They're rarely ever home except at night. They're nocturnal, so they wake up at night and they need to bounce around and, you know, go crazy in their cage. But,
I have never heard of these things before.
I've worked in nursing homes. It's like my population with special adults. It's anything that has animals just instantly perks people up and increases their quality of life. I also volunteer at a wildlife rescue, and I work with owls and hawks on Long Island. And it's the same thing, like just anything that has a living, breathing animal that you can touch, see, look at, just you can see people just light up, and there's no way else.
Yeah.
So Tammy, have your dogs been more loyal to you than the men in your life?
No, I have four cats and the two sugar gliders, but I got to say, after almost 30 years, my husband is pretty loyal.
Aww.
I noticed that. You preface that pretty loyal.
Yeah, but he does get upset because when I come home from work, instead of worrying about if he's fed or whatever, I instantly go take care of all my babies first and kind of leave him waiting.
Wait, can I ask a question? Do you put them on a leash, these sugar gliders? How do you...
No, they believe it or not, this is going to sound really strange, but they ride around in my clothes.
Oh, that's awesome.
So they grow up in a pouch. So
when they're on
either me or my husband, they stay like cuddled up next to our stomach inside of our clothes.
Where do we find them? How can I get
they
one?
They look like bats.
Oh, I want to bring one home to my husband.
I got one from a breeder called Pocket Pets, but since then I have sort of turned against them because I think they push it a little too much. But exotic pet stores have them.
But Tammy, what about if at night you say they're nocturnal, they're bouncing
they're
around,
like rocking,
that they come
and
they look to put their teeth right into your neck like a vampire, like bats do. You know, that's what bats do. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Giuseppe. Joe calling from Staten Island. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Joe?
Hi, guys. Nice talking to you.
Hi.
Before I talk about the dogs, I just want to make a quick remark about the elephants. I contribute that every month, and if you go online, you'll find out that over 100,000 elephants are destroyed, and all they do that for is to take the ivory and that's sent to China, Asian, and back to the United States. So anybody who says, oh, they're doing that to protect because they go into villages. Yeah, that happens once in a while. But the bottom line is money. That's
yes.
the whole thing.
Well, we're very much against it here in the studio, so we concur. So what's your so are you a dog person, glider person?
Yeah, I'm a dog lover since I've been married, and I've been married 15 years from day one. I have five dogs. Two are Shih Tzus, two are Pit Bulls, and one is a Husky. And they all are very lovable.
All right, that's all right. Forget the Shih Tzus. Those are fluffy little yarn balls.
Leave them alone. They're cute.
The Pit Bulls, the Husky, that's a manly dog. That's a manly. See,
why would I want a manly dog?
Who would want to be seen walking Shih Tzus?
No, you
want to
like be
snuggled.
Mike Gomez is like, oh, he's so cute. He snuggles me and he loves me and he just sits on my lap.
Yeah,
he's
more
just
than
adorable.
Your husband, right?
No, not at all.
If you had to choose between the two.
Oh, don't say that. That's horrible.
Why couldn't you just say my husband? Of course,
I would choose my husband.
Why did you hesitate? 1-800.
Because I feel bad. I hope Gomez isn't listening.
848-WABC. To the phones we go.
Inspiring music.
Juliet Huddy in the house, and it's Noel who's calling from New York. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet here at WABC. Noel?
Noel.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I've had better days.
Oh, boy.
So I just wanted to say that animals make everything better. Everything.
I agree.
And so whether it's a cat or a dog, anything, whether you go to a store or your workplace and there are animals there, everybody's happier. People talk to each other because of the animal.
That's true. Many a relationship has been made by, pickups in the dog park.
Now, Noel.
Right.
What about if it's a Rottweiler, if it's a Pit Bull, if it's a Bull Mastiff? You think that's going to put a smile on your face when they're growling at you, ready to rip your larynx out from your neck?
Well, I don't really look at it that way.
Yeah, don't pay attention to him, Noel.
I work at a pit bull rescue, and I actually just came home from work. So, I don't believe in all of those stereotypes.
What an angel she
now,
is.
Now, let me ask you a question, Noel. You're obviously a dog lover. Do you let that dog slobber all over your face?
Generally, not really my face. I'm sort of weird like that. Not my face, but I don't mind dog slobber at all.
Will you kiss your dog?
Kiss?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I don't have a problem if Gomez is like licking my lips.
What is wrong with you?
Because it's cute. It's cute.
You won't kiss a guy unless you have like a dental dam, but you'll give tongue to a dog who just had his face in defecation
Noel
and urination.
Noel and I did not give tongue to a dog.
The backside of
freak.
Another dog.
Don't let him spread these rumors about you, Noel. I'll take care of him.
But it is true.
I will hug and kiss my dog all the
Me
time.
Me too. And you're an angel for working at the rescue.
The dog is smelling the tuchus of another
quiet.
Dog. You see that, and then he comes over to you, and you kiss him? Is there something wrong with you?
I bet you snuggle up to your little kitty cats all the time.
Oh, they come up on my lap, and they lower my blood pressure.
There you
there's
go.
There's Hercules. There's Apollo. There's Athena.
Zeus.
Oh, it's so good. My blood pressure comes back to normal from 220 over 120.
Good weekend, everybody.